we're doing all day long. We're making all kinds of decisions, and this section deals with what you should. It's kind of like the rules for making decisions, getting in touch with your higher self. Hey, brother. So it's one of the more really practical lessons. And I'm going to go through it, and then I'm trying to go through it fast enough to really work on focusing on the steps. There are like 5 or 6 steps that it lists until we almost know what those 5 or 6 steps are without even having to look at the book. So I'm going to move a little bit faster than I normally do because I want to get to those steps. But if you got the book, we're going to... So the focus of the curriculum and the focus of the day is going to be on the new beginning. So the focus of the curriculum, what we're focusing on today is the new beginning. And we know we've been studying the course long enough to know that the goal is peace. The goal is prosperity. The goal is abundance. The goal is happiness. The goal is love. But there are specific methods that we need to use if we're going to achieve it. And how fast you reach the goal depends on just one little step, how willing you are to practice every step. So how fast I reach the goal depends on how willing I am to do the means to achieve the goal. Does that make sense? How fast I reach my goal depends on how much I'm willing to do the means to reach my goal. So everyone that you take, every little step that you take in this direction, the course says it's going to help a little every time it's attempted. And if we do these rules, then it's going to lead us out of judgment, and it's going to lead us out of pain, and it's going to lead us out of fear. And the rules I'm about to share with you are not very new. But the problem is, we don't really use them as rules of thought. In other words, it's like a lot of times if we come to a gathering like this, we'll focus on these ideas, but when we leave the gathering, we'll go back out in the world, and we'll apply the same type of attitude a lot of times that we did before we came in. And so the course is saying if you do that, then that just means that this is not really a rule for your thinking. It's not a rule that you go by all the time. It's just really maybe a philosophy. And the Course of Miracles is that way a lot with people, where it's really something that they play. The Course calls it playing with the ideas in your mind. So a lot of times people just play with new thought ideas in their mind, but they actually don't apply those ideas as rules of thinking in terms of their day-to-day experience, because when they walk out the door, they let their ego say something like, well, now I'm headed back out in the real world. And so since I'm headed back out in the real world, then I'm going to deal with it the way the world does, and then we don't get the result. And then we think the truth doesn't work. So what we want to do is we want to practice these ideas until they become like the first thing that comes to your mind as soon as you make a decision. So basically we're trying to make up new habits. And these new habits have to do with using these new thoughts. So it goes on to say that decisions are continuous, which means that you don't always know when you're making decisions. That's a really important point, because a lot of times we create things or we draw things to us in our lives that we don't know where it comes from, but we don't realize that we made the decision to have that thing happen, but we don't know it. So the Course says you're always making decisions, but a lot of your choices, you don't even realize you're making those choices. So if we were to start to practice these rules with the choices and decisions that we are aware of, he says then you begin to train your mind to make these, go through these same processes and rules even with the decisions and choices that you're not aware of. So I want my unconscious mind to make the right choices as well as making my conscious mind make the right choices. I want both of them to be choosing what's best for me. So it goes on next to say, don't let yourself become preoccupied with every step you make. In other words, if you were to wake up and if you were to consciously establish the proper mental attitude every time you wake up, then it puts you well ahead. But if you find that your resistance is real strong, that's the same as saying your dedication is real weak. Sometimes people don't think that their resistance is strong. They'll say, well, you know, I don't have really a lot of resistance to these ideas. And then the Course turns around and says, well, this is how you can tell if your resistance is strong. If your resistance is strong, your dedication is weak. So if you find that you're not as dedicated to your new direction as you say you want to be, if you find that your actions do not back up your words, if you find that your spiritual path is a lot of talk, but it's not really backed up with actions, well, that's a way of knowing that really your resistance is very high. And that's my dedication being weak. If I never do my workbook lesson, if I never read, if all during the day I never think one truth thought or try to apply one truth idea, then actually my resistance is very high. So the mind might say my resistance isn't high, but I'm not actually doing any of the new things that I'm learning. So if you are that way, if you have high resistance and no dedication, you are not ready. If you have high resistance and no dedication, you are not ready. And so don't fight yourself. If you're not ready, don't fight yourself. On the spiritual path, if you're not ready to go to whatever that next level is, then just work the level that you own the best you can possibly work that level until you're ready to go to the next level. And in that case, your dedication will be strong and your resistance will be weak. Your resistance won't be strong, your dedication will be strong. So if I'm not ready to go to the next level, then I'm going to try to perfect my perception of the level that I'm on. There are two levels of a consciousness to me in terms of awakening. Both levels have to do with claiming your power and claiming your responsibility. Level two is the level that it takes a while for most people to get to. Level one basically is when you get to the point that you realize you're the one that's responsible for the way that you're seeing things, so therefore you're the one that's responsible for the way you feel, because the way you feel is coming from the way you're seeing things and the way you're interpreting things. So most people can take responsibility for the way that they're interpreting things, but most people can't jump to the next level and realize that every single thing that they attract to them in their lives is coming from their consciousness and coming from their mind. Most people can't make that leap. They'll say, there's certain things that are happening to me that I'll admit that maybe I got something to do with that. Or they'll say, I will 100% accept the idea that I'm the one that's interpreting this situation, so I'm the one that's determining the way that I'm feeling about it. Because all of our feelings are coming from our interpretations. But it's a rare soul that'll walk in a room and go, do you know every single thing that happens to me and that has ever happened to me my whole life, I created it. That's a different level. So if you're not at that level, then don't fight yourself. Don't fight yourself. Just really work primarily on changing your perception and focus on the aspect of being able to change your interpretations and changing your perceptions. So you want to work it at the level that you are. So the first thing to do then to get into these rules for decision is the Course says what you should do is think about the kind of day you want. And then if you think about the kind of day you want, tell yourself there's a way for you to have the day that you want it just like that. First I tell myself what I want to happen, then I tell myself there's a way for me to have what I want to happen. So the very first step, if there's anybody taking notes, the very first step is for you to write down, today I will make no decisions by myself. That's the very first decision. If you want to have the kind of day you want, which is funny, if I want to have the kind of day I want, then the first decision I better make is that I'm not going to make any decisions without tuning into my higher self. I'm not going to make any decisions without tuning into the will of my source, God, the universe, the higher power, the all that is, Buddha, Jesus, whatever your word is that. I'm not going to make any decisions without my sane mind. The Course calls the Holy Spirit your sane mind. So I'm not going to make any decisions by myself. And then it goes on to say, well, what does it mean for me to say I'm not going to make any decisions by myself? And the Course says that what that means is you're not going to be the one that's choosing to be the judge of what to do. It also means that you're not going to judge the situations that you called on to make a response. I just walked in this room, I'm trying to decide what to do. But I don't want to make any decisions about what to do by myself. And I'm not going to judge the way I should be responding to you by myself. What I'm going to do is check in with my higher self and go, you know, I'm in this new situation, how should I respond to it? I'm in this new situation, what should I do? So you take a minute, you pause, you go within, and you see what your higher self tells you to do. And it says that, because if you judge your response before you tune into your higher self, then you're going to be the one that sets the rules for how you should be reacting to that situation. And so when Spirit gives you an answer that's different from the answer that you've made up for what you should be doing, the Course says it makes you feel confused. So the reason why I feel confused in situations is that I've already made up my mind how I should respond to the situation. Then I ask Spirit how I should respond to the situation. And in most cases, Spirit's going to give me an answer just the opposite of how I told myself. And then I get, like, Pencils, I think you've hurt me, and I'm ready to attack you. If I don't trust you, and I'm ready to be leery of you, then I've already made my decision about how I should respond to this situation. I should respond to this situation with anger and attack. I've already made my decision. Then I turn around and say, okay, Holy Spirit, higher self, what should I do? then your higher self says, respond with peace. Well, see, I'm confused because really I want to go off on you. I've already made the decision to be mad. My higher self told me to back off. That's not really the decision that I've made. And so now I feel confused. So he says, that's our major problem. And whenever you get an answer that's different from the answer you made up, then it makes you feel uncertainty and it makes you feel fear. So in most cases, the fear and the uncertainty that we are feeling is coming from already making up our own decisions and choices without touching and getting in touch with the source, and then reacting to what our higher self tells us with resistance and confusion. Because our ego, which is our separated self, is walking around in the world. That part of us is going to always tell you, direct your anger and attack outside of yourself in order to protect yourself. Your ego voice is going to always tell you the problem is being caused by something other than you. And so it's going to tell you, attack, defend, attack, defend, attack, defend. Now, we could break it down to a lot more complicated sentence structures and patterns and stuff, but basically, the fearful mind says, attack, defend. Either I need to defend myself or I need to get you straight. Right? So if I've already decided to do the regular human way, which is getting upset, which is the regular human way, it didn't go my way, so I'm mad, then quickly the loving part of me or the sane part of me says, respond with peace, respond with love, respond with awareness, and I'm going to go into uncertainty and fear because I've already made up my mind about the best way for me to protect myself, and the answer that I'm getting is opposite to the answer that I have given myself. That's why it's easy to remember truth statements when you're feeling peaceful and happy and everything's going right. But the minute your life starts to go down the toilet, right, then all of a sudden all these truth principles go out the window. And I'm right back to it's me by myself on my own, got to figure out through my wits and who I can influence and who I can control how I should deal with this situation. So the Course says we still make up our mind, then decide to ask what we should do, and then what we hear may not resolve the problem as we saw at first. That leads to fear, and you're going through fear because your guidance is contradicting what you perceive, and so when your guidance contradicts what you perceive, you feel attacked. I'm mad at my boyfriend, my friend said, my higher self says, don't attack him, then I get mad. What do you mean? What do you mean don't attack? You just want me to just let that person just run all over me? Da, 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 da. See, I got a different answer from the one I made up, so now I feel attacked. Mm-hmm. So when you approach a person and you tell a person the truth, whenever they are trying to deceive themselves, the Course says they always respond as if they've been attacked. So when a person is trying to fool themselves, they don't want to hear the truth. And they respond to you as if you've attacked them, and then they respond to you with attack. So the next time you're ready to tell someone the truth, whether they are ready to hear the truth or not, then do not get upset when they go off on you. Because if they're trying to fool themselves, they will not appreciate the truth. And so what happens is we get ready to help somebody, or we get ready to tell somebody the truth, and then we freak out and get mad because they get mad. And they think, you know, you ought to want to hear the truth. You ought to be turned on by what I'm telling you. No, I don't want to hear the truth. I'm trying to fool myself. I'm trying to tell myself this person's the best person for me, and I know they're the worst person I could be with. I don't need you to tell me the truth about it because I'm trying to convince myself of the lie. So when you tell me the truth, I feel attacked because you're telling me something opposite to what I want to hear. And what I want to hear is what I is that what I'm doing is right. So that's what's been so helpful to me about the Course. It's like even if I get ready to tell somebody the truth, at least I'm not going in blindly expecting them to necessarily feel good about what I said. So it takes me all the time. It takes me back to taking responsibility for my experience, for being willing to deal with the consequences of telling the truth. And then anyone that's into the Course in Miracles, they don't know they may not know it, but the Course in Miracles is the path of relationships. So there are a lot, it says that there are a lot of different ways to get back to your real self. There's a lot of different ways to get back to God. There's a lot of different ways to get back to truth. There's a lot of different ways. We call them everybody's various paths, right? But the Course is saying those who are attracted to the Course are those who are using relationships to save time. And not necessarily special good relationships, but any relationship. So we are on the path of relationship, in case you haven't noticed. You're on the path of relationship. So that means that you have chosen relationships to wake you up, or you're choosing relationships to put you to sleep.
So either your relationship is moving you further toward the truth, or your relationship is delaying you and making you forget about your innocence and your power and your truth, whether that's your friendships, your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, your dog, whatever, your cat. It don't make no difference. You're still in a relationship. So you can get mad at your cat, you can get mad at your mate. You can feel good about your cat, you can feel good about your mate. So your cat isn't any different than anybody else. So what we want to do then is realize that we are angry because what you just told me is the opposite to what I've decided the answer is. And he says, now, don't freak out about that, because at the beginning it's going to happen. I'll say it again. When you're first starting to learn how to get guidance from within, you're going to get angry sometime. See, now some people think, because I'm learning how to get guidance, I'm just going to feel peace all the time because I'm going to spirit. And of course, they're saying, no, you're going to be pissed off most of the time because you're going to spirit. Because spirit is going to say just the opposite from what you're probably thinking. Why? Because it's the way you're thinking that's producing the problem that you're going to spirit for. The problem came from my thinking. So obviously the answer is going to be opposite to my thinking, or I wouldn't be upset. If I was thinking correctly, I wouldn't be upset. So if I go to spirit already upset, I should almost expect to hear an answer that's the opposite to what I think. Any questions or comments about what I've said so far?
Mm-hmm. About the dedication and resistance.
Mm-hmm.
I found, like, for the first half of the year, the first 3 months, very dedicated. But as it progressed, I started getting less and less dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? How do I?
Well, the course says that the reason why the path starts to seem contradictory or hard or paradoxical is because you become afraid of the goal. That for some reason you become afraid of the truth and afraid of where that truth is leading you. Or it might be producing such a radical change in your personality and your life that your old self is simply afraid because of the changes that your new self is bringing about, and your old self is calling you. How many times have we tried to change and saw ourselves falling back into our old habits and patterns, right?
This is happening, yes.
Right, because that old self has had a lot more time to be reinforced, to be built up, to be believed in. As a matter of fact, I know my way around my miserable self. I know my way around my insecure self. I know my way around my worldly self. But this new, loving, spiritual, unlimited, innocent self, I don't know how to deal with that self. That's being nice, being kind, being open, being trusting. It's a lot easier for me to be suspicious, angry, defensive, and attacking, broken into by periods where I go to see a movie, you know, or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's really easier to be the old self. It's like that groove that we have, you know, like when you walk around a yard or something, you got your trail in the yard. You know what I'm saying? You got that groove. So it's easy to walk around that groove. Now you're getting ready to make a whole new way. So your old self is defending against your new self right now by not allowing you to continue to see the tremendous benefits that you saw in the beginning that motivated you to move in that direction. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So another thing, too, I want to say, because I want to do more discussion on Wednesday, but I really don't want to do fixing. So I really want to invite that when someone shares, don't rush to try to tell that person what they should be doing or the way they should be looking at it. Because what I want to do more than anything is create a space where people feel safe enough to express their thoughts and their opinions without being fixed. So just keep that in mind, that if your first response is to correct somebody else, something that somebody else just said in the group, that's not the purpose of the discussion. The purpose of the discussion is to give a person an opportunity to safely communicate what's up with them. And then, since it's a course class, give me an opportunity to share with you what the course says about it, not what some other teaching says about it. This is a course class. It's not another class. Does that make sense with everybody?
Yeah.
So let's try to keep it on the course and not on our own personal opinions and learnings. Yeah, bro?
Well, I have a problem with what you just said. No, I'm just kidding.
That would have been okay. That would have been okay. It would have been perfectly okay.
That's actually kind of in line with what Keith
brought
up. When you're talking about having those moments when you're pissed off, when you're in the middle of making that transition, because you know you've already set things in motion, and you realize that the energy of anger is in there as part of the transformation. Does the Course say anything about how to... experience that without
Yeah, that's what this section is about.
Suppressing it or projecting it.
That's what this section. That's what we're going to cover. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, the easiest way to feel it without projecting it is to own it as being, just like you said, I feel anger. I feel mad. I feel upset. Because then all you're doing is just describe. There's nothing wrong with saying what you feel, and there's nothing to saying that every feeling that you have has to be positive. But what is important is to remember that that feeling is not a feeling that's happening to you. That's a feeling that's coming from the way you're interpreting. And so to change the feeling, I have to change my interpretation. See, I still want to believe I can keep the interpretation that you're hurting me and think somehow or another I'm going to keep that interpretation and feel peace. You see what I'm saying? That interpretation is not going to give me peace. So I cannot keep the erroneous interpretation without the suffering that goes with it unless I don't give it any meaning and realize it is just a feeling that I am having right now. And since it's anger and upset, it's a feeling that I'm having that is not based on love and the truth. It's a feeling that I'm having based on the idea that I'm the victim of this person or this situation. I just have to own the feeling, but don't repress the feeling. Let myself really have the feeling. And what happens, of course, is it's like a parade or like a cloud, and that feeling of anger will go right through you and leave. But what we do is we grab the feeling, right? Anger is coming through me, okay? Anger shouldn't come through me. I stopped it now. See, it would have been gone. Anger is bad. I've got to figure out what to do with my anger. I'm going to study my anger. I'm going to remember all the other times I was angry about this same thing back to the past. You know what I'm saying? It's where I could have just went, anger. Depression. I feel really depressed today. But we don't do that. I go, depression is bad. If I was a spiritual student, I shouldn't get depressed. If I was strong, see what I'm saying? So then I grab the negative emotion, and it's like I call it standing and watching a parade go by, and then I just reach out and grab the majorette. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no, let the majorette go back. You know what I'm saying? Else you're going to get arrested. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we do. Instead of just letting the thought go by, we judge it, right? So now it becomes a reflection of who we are, and I would be a good person if I didn't get mad. And if I was spiritual students really do it. They think that because they're on a spiritual path, they're supposed to never get angry all day long. And they go crazy. Because they can't pull it off. You can't pull that off unless you're enlightened and we're studying spiritual truth in order to reach enlightenment. It wouldn't be in a sense at all taking the classes if we already knew how to do it. So we get mad because we can't already be the way we're learning how to be. And so one of the biggest breakthroughs on the path is when you get to the point that you have tolerance. The Course calls it tolerance for your weakness keeps your weakness from having any strength. Intolerance for your weakness keeps you fighting with your weaknesses all the time. And then it also says, how can you not succeed if only weakness stands in the way? That's one of my favorite lines. Think about that for a minute. How can you not succeed if only weakness stands in your way? Because weakness has no power. That's the nature of weakness, is that it doesn't have any power to stop anything real. So if your only problem is that you feel weak, then you don't have no problem. Because your weakness can't stop you, because you are powerful. You are powerful. You are not your problem. You are not your feelings. You are not your thoughts. You are the self who experiences them. See what I mean? But what happens, the book says, that we have a bunch of thoughts about ourselves, right? And these are my thoughts about myself. Let's say I'm not enough and I'm separate. This is my thought about myself. My dad mistreated me, my mom mistreated me, nobody really likes me. You know what I'm saying? My muscle's not big enough, or my stomach too big, you know, my butt too flat. You know, whatever we tell ourselves. Right? So now I'm a flat butt person. That's who I am. I'm no longer the child of God. You know what I'm saying? You know, I got a serious problem with my butt, you know. And so what happens? I become my butt. Right? All of a sudden, I'm not me now. I'm this image of myself that I've made up. And I start looking at everything through the image of myself I made up.
right? And so the world reflects back to me.
You know, like if I put on a pair of shades and the shades are green, then no matter what direction I look, it's going to have a green tint to it. Because that's what I'm looking through, right? So if you have a green tint that says nothing goes right for me, then when you look out through that tint, nothing will go right for you. It'll look like your relationship's not going right, your financial situation, because that's the lens through which you're looking at your reality. And what the course is trying to do is clean the lens and eventually take it off. So you won't need the lens at all because you're just a creator. You're powerful. You're letting your love create for you. That's been my experiment this year. Let's get out of my head, get into my heart, and see what my authenticity and my love creates instead of what it is my thinking is going to create.
Yeah.
My love creates much more than my thinking ever did, much faster. Most truth students, though, are busy trying to get it right in their heads and then leave their hearts out of the whole equation, except for the one special person that they're going to try to manipulate, control, and dominate. And for that person, they'll open their heart, you know. And so it's really different. I mean, try that. I mean, try going into situations and saying when you enter those situations, my purpose for coming to this situation is to bring some peace and some joy and some love into this situation. I don't even know how to do that, but that's my intention. For real. Take a minute. And just start to watch what starts to happen in the situations that you come upon. It'll blow your mind. It'll blow your mind. So I'm glad that you said that. So if we walked away from here today and we made it okay to be upset, you would have made a giant leap in your conscious awareness. It's not about being positive. I'll say it again. It's not about being positive. It's about being aware. Being positive is a trap. Being positive is the best way in the world to get out of touch with yourself and lie to yourself all day long. Sweep those thoughts under the rug. Those thoughts will still be there, creating circumstances, but you won't know where the negative situations are coming from because you're positive. Okay, so you will be the classic real nice person going through hell. Have y'all familiar with that? Anybody familiar with that one? I'm the real nice person that things are always happening to. It's because you're in denial, horribly in denial about unresolved issues in your consciousness. And so you got this little part of the iceberg sticking up above the water that you're calling you. And then underneath the water, there's this. Right? And so the world is the part of the iceberg that is under the water. So when you look out, you're looking at your under the water consciousness. Mm-hmm. That's when you look out in your world, you're looking at your subconscious mind. When you look out in the world, you're looking at your own subconscious mind. And it freaks people out when they find that out. But as you give yourself these new thoughts, it transforms your subconscious mind. So one day your subconscious is as cool as your conscious. And when your subconscious is as cool as your conscious, then when you look out at the world, you'll be looking at a world that loves you and supports you and honors you and is friendly to you. And you'll be going, wow, I'm tripped out. Now, if you're the kind of person that subconsciously you love yourself more than you consciously love yourself, and there are people like that, then you'll be a person that's putting yourself down, surrounded by people who are treating you really cool. And they'll be like saying loving things to you, and you'll be going stuff like, I don't deserve that. I don't know why they see that in me. I don't see. You see, you subconsciously think you the bomb. You think you're out of sight. You think you're really awesome. But you're probably using false humility. So you're playing it down. And you're trying to pretend that you don't have as high a perception of yourself as you do. And so to look like the people around you are nicer to you than you are to yourself. Anybody experiencing that? But a lot of times it's like people are being more kind to you and more loving to you than even you think you deserve. You got a lot of subconscious loving ideas about yourself. If you're the kind of person that you think you're the bomb and nobody else does, you're amazing in your own mind. That's good. That's better than nothing. You know what I'm saying? So if you are hanging out with yourself all day, it would be cooler if you thought you was cool anyway. But everybody else is giving you a hard time. You got a lot of repressed anger. You got a lot of repressed grievances going on. if you're a nice person that's always catching hell, you're very mad and very angry, and but you're not willing to admit that to yourself because you're trying to be nice, and it would mess with your nice image of yourself because you're real nice, and you wouldn't hurt nobody, and you love everybody, you know, and you just want the best for the world, and you feel all, you feed all the orphans if they was around you, you know what I'm saying? But you're just having one horrible thing after another. You need to go somewhere. And you need to just get around a friend or somebody you love or who you could trust and just admit, you know, I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know where, but I am so angry. I'm so mad. I feel like such a victim. I feel like God isn't there. I feel like I'm not really loved. I have a lot of fears and insecurities that I don't realize where they're coming from, and I don't even need to know what they're about. I just need to admit that they're there so I can stop meeting it every single day in my life. You know, whew. Last people I want for close friends is people I have to be positive around all the time. That I can't say how I feel in the moment without them feeling like something was wrong with them. Oh, you shouldn't feel that way. You know better than that. You know what the Course says. I can't believe you'd be upset as much as you studied the Course in Miracles. What are you talking about? You know, it's like, get be behind me, Satan. Get back. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the world just like you in the world. I'm learning just like you're learning. Don't put me on some pedestal that I can't be upset. That's not allowing me to get out of the upset.
Right.
That's keeping me stuck. Because now I got to pretend I don't feel the way I feel. So you're not helping me at all. So these are little tips, y'all. I'm telling you, take advantage of the experience that I've had many years working with people and talking to people. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to do it all over again. It's already been done. You really don't. You really don't. You're not that different. Thank God. You know. So the Course says, throughout the day, at any time you think of it, have a quiet moment for reflection. Tell yourself again what? The kind of day you want, the feelings you would have, the things you want to happen to you, the things you want to experience. So for those of you who think it's not okay to say what you want, somehow or another being spiritual means you can't say the kind of day you want, or you can't say the things you want to have, because somehow or another that's not being spiritual, this blows it right here. It says, all day long, tell yourself what you want. You know what? I'm already doing that all day long. I bet you most of you are too. I bet all day long you're telling yourself stuff that you'd like to see happen, things that you'd like to experience, things that you want. So, in other words, keep your regular train of thinking, but when you finish telling yourself the thing you like to experience, then you tell yourself, if I make no decisions by myself, this is the day that will be given me. Boy, I really would like that brand new house. If I make no decisions by myself, this is the day that would be given me. Now, a lot of people say, well, the Course isn't talking about material things is an illusion, da 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 da. Okay, well, if you feel that way, then don't you ask for the house. For those of you who want the house, okay, you know, if you don't want it, then cool, you know, but I want me a convertible, so don't mess with me, you know what I'm saying? I can love you and want a convertible. They're not exclusive of each other, you know. That, to me, that's bad into that old poverty consciousness stuff, you know, because if I can't figure out how to have it, then I tell myself I don't want it. And it's just a cop-out because I don't know how I'm going to have it, okay? But if I was to really be, if I make no decisions by myself, this is the day that would be given me, then what kind of day do I really want? Well, the day that I really want is a peaceful day. If I don't make any decisions by myself, I can have a peaceful day whether I get the convertible or not. But guess what? If I don't make any decisions by myself, I can have a convertible too. And still have a peaceful day. My peaceful day does not exclude my desires. So, I don't know about you, but I want to have it all. Mm-hmm. Anybody else, anyone want it all?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So it's not a crime to talk about prosperity, abundance, and a trip to the Bahamas, right? It's okay. That's fine. Okay. Cool. Great. That's wonderful. All right. So there is somebody that's in here that would like to have an orgasm or two before they die, right? It's not, that's okay with the group. Okay. All right. Now, except for you, right? You know, you do what? Okay. No problem. No. I like to talk about the forbidden topics, especially in spiritual environments. Like, give me a break. Okay. He says, now, if you say, if I make no decisions by myself, this is the day that will be given me. If you practice these two procedures, they will serve to let you be directed without fear. And that means you won't have opposition come up in you and then let the opposition become the problem. Check that out. My opposition has become the problem. Now I've made my resistance the problem. Not the thing that I wanted, but now the resistance to it is the problem. Okay, he says, now, there are going to be times when you've already judged, and when you get the answer, you're going to get mad, unless you quickly straighten out your mind to want an answer that will work. And be certain that if you feel unwilling to sit down and ask to have the answer given to you, you've already decided by yourself. You really can't see the question, which is, you know, give me the direction. What to do, Holy Spirit. He says, now you need a quick restorative before you can ask again. So some people are so unwilling to sit down to ask the question that they're already mad because they're not getting what they want. But they don't realize they don't have the peace that they want because they didn't stop to ask for guidance. So if you're already doing something before you stopped and asked, and it's not going right, you know you didn't ask. You just went ahead and did it. How many times have you come up with a decision or a choice and then said that it was the Holy Spirit or your higher self, did it, and it was a disaster? Anybody ever had that experience? I think if everybody has, they'd be honest. There's been times that they said they thought Spirit was behind an action and it didn't turn out right at all. That's a situation where the person made up their own answer and then said God told them to do it. And that's the standard procedure, by the way. The standard procedure is, I have a fantasy, I want the fantasy to be acted out, so I'm going to say my higher self was the one that told me to do it. Okay, that's real common. Yeah.
Is that like when they say, like if something happens and they say God must have wanted it that way, or...
Talking about the crap itself?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, something that went wrong.
Yeah.
And they,
it was God's will.
It was God's will.
It's funny how it's always God's will when it's something you don't like.
Right.
Right, because they don't understand it. You know, it's like it's never God's will that you go through pain and suffering. Ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever, never, ever. Is there a chance? Is there a time? Never, ever is it God's will for you to suffer, not even to grow, according to the Course. Now, those of us who need to suffer and need to feel like suffering serves a higher purpose, we won't like that, especially if you're a good sufferer and most of your life is a lot of suffering. You won't like the idea that your suffering is not somehow ordained by the Creator. Because if I'm going to suffer, at least let it. Okay, now, can my suffering be used by God to make me aware of something that I need to be aware of? Absolutely. I can choose the wrong partner that had nothing to do with God. Okay? And when I get into that relationship, I can call God into that relationship and be guided into how to transform my perception of that relationship. I can put myself in any horrendous situation and get guidance and get help. Is help always available no matter what your situation is? Of course it is. Did your Creator put you in the situation? No. You put yourself in the situation by not paying any attention to the truth. And people say, well, how do I know the truth? Well, the way that you know the truth is to know yourself. When you get in touch with who you really are, you will know the truth. Because the truth is you. The truth is in you. So all of my teaching is always directed, everybody in this room, within. It's not directing you without. I believe you, everybody in here, I believe you all unlimited. I believe you all powerful. I believe you all have inner guidance. I believe you all connected to the Source. That takes all the pressure off of me. Should take the pressure off of you. You're not responsible for anybody else's spiritual awakening. You're just responsible to let yourself be awakened, and people can feel your light and see your light and feel your love so strongly that it's just like using one match to light another. And they get lit. They get around you and they feel lit up. You know, and you know people like that. No matter how you feel, when you're around them, you feel better. Because you're letting yourself get in touch with their light, and their light is reminding you of your light. But then you have to get to the point that you can fan your own flame from within. A lot of people need a lot of people to fan them. So they try to surround themselves with people who are idolizing them so that they can feel important. See what I mean? And That gets pretty expensive.
High maintenance.
I call it high maintenance. Yeah, all those people that need you to change for them to be happy, those are the high maintenance folks. There's lots of those.
Yeah.
If you'd like to help, meet a few. There are lots of them. Go to the mall, and you'll find there'll be tons of them there waiting for you. You know what I'm saying? Almost anywhere. Anywhere. So, I know I'm not going to finish this today, but I am going to finish it by next week because this section is awesome, but I'm going to go as far as I can. Okay, so when you're mad and you know you're upset and you've not asked Spirit for the answer, the Course says what you do next is you tell yourself, I have no question. I forgot what to decide. I'm mad because I forgot what to decide. And what was it I was supposed to decide? Who knows? Not to what?
Not to make decisions without your higher power.
Thank you. That's what I forgot. I'm freaking right now because I'm making choices without love, which is my higher power, which is the truth. Okay? He said, this cancels out the terms you have said. Let the answer show you what the question must have really been. Try to observe this rule of saying, I forgot what to decide, without delay, despite your opposition, because you've already gotten angry. Your fear of being answered in a different way from what your version of the question asked will gain momentum until you believe the day you want is a day in which you get your answer to your question the way you want it. Y'all been there before?
Yeah.
It's got to be my way. He says, and you will not get it. You will not get the answer to your question your way. You know why? Because if it came to you the way you wanted it to come to you, it would destroy your day. Because it would be robbing you of the peace that you really want. Because the way you've decided to have it is incorrect. So, Spirit is loving you so much that it doesn't answer your prayer. Isn't that wild? I insist on having it in a way that's not best for me to have it. So that which loves me is not going to give it to me the way that doesn't work. I'm frustrated because I didn't get it the way I decided. But Spirit is saying, you ought to be glad you're not getting it the way you decided. Because the way you've decided would rob you of the very peace that you say you want. Let's say you want me and I hate you. I don't really like you. But you don't know that because you're just looking at the outer. So you're praying for the person who really doesn't love you. And you don't ever receive them. So you're mad because you decided that's going to be the one. But actually, to get that person would be robbing you of the very thing you said you wanted, which is love and peace, because they don't want to give it to you. So everything you haven't gotten is really best. Now, you're talking about letting go of some pressure. If you could be with that one, it was best for me not to have that which I do not have. It was best. It was protection. Yeah, it was protection. I call rejection protection. I said rejection is protection and redirection. Rejection is protection and redirection. Somebody rejects you, they're protecting you from them. Because they don't see you enough to accept you. They don't recognize you. Why would you want somebody who doesn't accept you? So someone who rejects you, they're not seeing you correctly. So it's really a blessing that they are rejecting you, and you know they're not best for you because they're rejecting you. They're really redirecting you. They're saying, no, I know you think it's me, but I'm going to redirect you to anybody else because it's not me. And you're going to call it rejection, but I'm going to call it I'm redirecting you. So next time somebody come up to you and they're trying to go out with you and you're really not interested, you could look at them very lovingly and say, I'm about to redirect you and protect you. See that person over there that's got their tongue hanging out wagging because they want to get next to you so bad? You might want to go over there and ask them for their phone number. I'm about to call the police. I'm not the right person. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and so when I go through that, and we all go through that we'll choose something or we'll choose somebody, right? And it doesn't happen and they don't respond and you get that feeling of rejection. And when I feel that now, I tell myself, I am being protected. It doesn't feel good, but I am being protected. I'm being protected. It doesn't feel good to my ego. My ego doesn't like rejection. But I do like protection. See, I like to be protected. but I don't like to be rejected. So the Course is written in a sense calling our rejection protection, reinterpreting rejection, and then rejection is not a problem like it used to be. Now rejection is a blessing because it's saving me time. Mm-hmm. And as you get older, that will be a more interesting thing to do. It will make a lot more sense to you. You know, I don't waste a lot of time now. You know, because I'm becoming happier. And as you become happier, time passes faster. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
When you're having a good time, time passes really quickly. When you're having a horrible time, what happens? It's real slow. So as you become happier, you will find that your days will move faster. And life will seem to move faster. If you're a miserable person, an unhappy person, each day will seem like it's 3 weeks long. Because you're dealing with something all day long that doesn't thrill you, doesn't turn you on, doesn't move you. So one of the side effects of joy is that time speeds up. That's why the Course in Miracles is constantly teaching us about our spiritual nature, our eternal nature, our being that's beyond the body. Because happiness has to be eventually beyond the body, because your body won't last as long as your happiness does. It's just like repotting a plant, how you know you get to a point that the plant outgrows the pot and then you have to get a new pot. Your joy will outgrow your body, and then you'll need a container that's even more unlimited to house your new self. So what we call death is really being repotted. But from the perspective of the miserable or the unaware, it looks like they're standing around the old pot grieving. You see what I'm saying? They're standing around the pot that used to be the one where you were at. You're somewhere else, but they're standing around the pot grieving. They bury the pot. They put a tombstone above the pot. And they call that you, and then you go to the graveyard and you see the pot. You know, that's what's happening when you go to somebody's grave site. You're just looking at where the container is buried. I don't think I've been to my mother's grave site three times since she passed. Because I don't in no way, shape, form, or fashion associate my mother as being the body that's buried there. You know. My mother is just as alive to me now in more ways now than she was when she was in the physical body, because I didn't believe that my mother died. I believed that my mother transcended, so I didn't have to lose communication and a sense of connection because I didn't kill her. And so the same thing is true of my brother. So don't kill the people who've left their bodies, because when you do that, you lessen your ability to commune with their souls and still feel their presence in your life. The body is just a communication device. It's just the way that we communicate with each other on this plane. Then we fall in love with the communication device. And the communication device is now more important than the purpose it was made for, which is communication.
Earl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as you get happier, time flies by.
Right.
Could it be at some deep, subtle level that miserable people are trying to make it last longer?
In most cases, yeah, it's a distorted way to, I'm glad you said that. The Course calls suffering and guilt a distorted way to have immortality. Because you're so screwed up, you're going to have time to straighten yourself out. So you got to be around to be healed. So it's a distorted way of projecting yourself in the future. If I do something wrong, when am I going to be punished? In the future. Well, I've got to be in the future to receive the punishment.
Right.
So guilt is a distorted way to project me into the future and assure myself that I'll be around sometime in the future, even if it's just to receive the results of what I've been doing today. That's a distorted form of immortality. The conscious form of immortality is to get in touch with the love that's you and the power that's you and the happiness that's you, and to enjoy your life so much you don't want to die. You won't be looking at death as a piece. Like most people look at, well, I know I'm going through a lot of crap, but when I die, you know, everything's going to be all right when I die. You know what I'm saying? That's the distorted form. The Course is saying, no, I don't know about you, but when I'm having a really good time, I have this strange desire for it to last. Have y'all noticed that? If it's really cool, You want it to keep going. So we're extending our lives through the joy that we are letting ourselves have, as opposed to trying to extend our lives so that we can work on our stuff. Fix me. I'm all messed up. I need to be around to get fixed. Brothers and sisters, you are not broken. I don't know how to break that to you. But you are not broken. There is nothing to fix. You just need to remember you are not broken. And to remember the truth about yourself. That's why groups like this are small. In groups that are telling people that they're going to hell and that they're condemned, there are thousands and thousands and millions of people who go to those churches and gatherings and groups. Because it's a lot easier to believe someone who's telling you something about yourself that you already believe than it is to go to somebody like me that's telling you stuff about yourself you don't believe. That you are totally innocent, that you are immortal, that you are all powerful, that you are responsible, that you're not alone, that you're not insecure, that you're not weak. You see what I'm saying? But you go to a minister and the minister says, you're a horrible, worthless person and you're going to hell, and you already believe you're a worthless person and you really have a low self-esteem, then that guy to you is telling you the truth. And then you got so many people around you that also believe it, so you don't feel alone. And so you actually feel like you fit in.
And that somebody else is in control.
Oh, I love the idea of making, Then you're responsible for what I'm going, it's the devil made me do it. You know what I'm saying? The devil is the coolest. I can, you know, a couple of times I've been tempted to go ahead and just go with the devil because that's so easy. You know, the reason why I'm treating everybody wrong because Satan. But, you know, but for me to go, the reason why I'm treating people wrong is because I'm treating people wrong. I'm not being loving. See, that's hard. That's hard for the average person. But it'd be much easier to go, the devil made me do it. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm okay. Notice that they didn't call for any inner work whatsoever. And then we're surprised that that's not a popular thought. I don't have nothing to do with the pain I'm going through, and I don't have anything to do with my salvation. Nothing's my responsibility. And then I get a chance to blame everybody else and say what's wrong with them. It's really, I can see why that'd be like a fun approach. You know, it's easy. It'd be so easy for me to sit down and go, oh, the devil made me do that last night. That's why I did that. That was the devil. Earl did that on the news. The devil. It was the devil. And when I was a kid, I wanted to go to hell. That's where all my friends were going to be anyway. You know, I wasn't none of my friends going to be in hell, but I didn't want to play a harp. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really like moving me tremendously. You know, like give me a heaven sound boring. Didn't anybody else have those feelings? Like it just wasn't, didn't really just, y'all, you're too scared to admit it. Sometimes people are too scared to admit that they don't even believe that. And you know, you'd be amazed, you know.
So in coarse terms, would the devil be the ego?
Exactly. In coarse terms, the devil is the ego. It's the part of me that tries to make me believe I'm separate and less than love. It's the part of me that condemns me, judges me, criticizes me, and criticizes you. It's the part of me that tells me I'm a victim. It's the part of me that tells me to do things that harm me and gives me very justifiable reasons for doing it. That's the devil. It's not an external force. It's an idea in my mind that I'm obeying, that I could fire and evict anytime I get ready. But it's so rooted in me, I need help. And that's where you come in. We're supposed to remind each other the truth when we forget it, because we really are innocent. So today, the first part of the lesson then would be what? Tell yourself what you want. Tell yourself, if you don't make a decision without, if you will not make this choice without checking in, you can really have it. Also realize that if you're upset, it's a good chance that you've already made up your mind about what's supposed to happen, and you're upset because the answer is different from what you have decided. So you need to remember, wait a minute, I forgot. I need to go back within. I need to ask again because I'm not getting the day that I want. Because I can have it just like that if I don't make the decisions without my higher self, without God. And so be gentle with yourself today. Your test is, can you get mad? Can you get upset without getting upset with yourself about getting upset? Can you do that? Can you come out of the most dastardly part of yourself and forgive yourself by realizing that's just the way you felt, and that's just a feeling, and it came from your interpretation, and you need a new interpretation, you get a new feeling eventually. Well, you deserve the peace that comes from a new interpretation. And you can't lose, because the power that's in charge can never fail. We can delay, but we can never lose. I can slow the process down, but I'm going to be successful. So don't confuse delay with failure. All right? Okay, I'm going to stop here. It's 2 minutes to one. So what we're going to do now, that don't take. Wait a minute, say it with what?
We love you.
Oh, okay, good. So I'm going to get that on repeat and play it all night long. That's going to work.